Business Newsline, Indonesian Health Ministry has affirmed its commitment to prioritizing the use of natural medicine as an integral part of the national health transformation agenda. The ministry's director of pharmaceutical production and distribution, Dita Novianti Sugandi, stated the development of natural medicine, including herbal medicine, represents a strategic step that reflects local wisdom while simultaneously addressing modern health needs. Commemorating National Herbal Medicine Day every May 27, Sugandi noted that traditional medicine can now be used independently by the community and is also being integrated into formal healthcare facilities. Indonesian tennis players Priska Medelin Nugroho and Janice Chen won titles in different tournaments in the same week. Priska Medelin Nugroho became the champion in the single category of the ITF W15 Ma Ansan tournament in China on Sunday, while in South Korea, Janice closed the competition week with a win in the ITF W35 Andong tournament. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Kau menangis, ceritakan semua yang engkau mau. Percaya padaku, aku lelakimu. Mungkin perlu ku tak sangat senja. Ucap ku tak mengepus air mata, tapi ku di sini sebagai lelakimu. Akulah yang tetap memelukmu erat saat kau berpikir mungkin kau berjalan nanti. Sudah benarkah yang engkau putuskan? Garis hidup sudah engkau tentukan. Engkau memilih aku sebagai lelakimu. Saat kau berpikir
Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song by Rahmania Astrini. Rahmania Astrini, usually called Astri, was born on July 4, 2001 in Northampton, Massachusetts, United States. Though was born there, she is actually an Indonesian citizen. The singer and songwriter now lives in Jakarta. Her name began to be known after releasing her first single, Menua Bersama, or Growing Old Together, in 2017. After that, Astri continued to produce works that were quite well received by Indonesian music lovers. Moreover, in November 2023, she made history in her music journey by becoming the opening act for Coldplay's concert at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta. On September 9, 2024, she released a new single with English lyrics entitled Love Me Like You. This love theme song was written by Rahmania Astrini with Tricia Clarissa and Fatan Maulana as producers. Love Me Like You carries a typical 2000s R&B style with a music video featuring dance choreography by Hamada Abdul. Well, listener, let's enjoy the latest single by Rahmania Astrini, Love Me Like You. Enjoy!
I wanna tell you what I'm thinking about now. Doesn't matter what they say about us. You got me all in my feels. You got me head over heels for you, for you. There is nothing I wouldn't do. Don't worry, boy, 'cause being you together sounds real good.
Saudara, beragam warna kita
Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOA listeners and viewers, Indonesia is not only the largest archipelago country in the world, it is also host to the richest marine biodiversity in the world. What about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability? Let's find out more on today's VOI Talk with Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri, as the expert staff of ecology and ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries on today's VOI Talk. Good morning, Pak Hendra. How are you today?
Good morning, Bu. Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. Thank you so much for joining us on VOI Talk. And as I told our listeners before, today we're talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability, especially after our ocean conferences that was hosted by Indonesia itself in 2018. Could you elaborate more about Indonesia's role?
Right. Thank you. First of all, thanks for Voice of Indonesia to invite me this important event and at Parbaya. I hope my voice is okay. Just get notification that I got unstable networking. Anyway, I like to continue that. So yes, it was in 2018, we host our ocean conference. It is like the first that it was in October, and our ocean conference is like a kind of like register our commitment and so forth. So this is a kind of like how to show that all the stakeholders, just like government, non-government organizations or communities, community organization as well, to raise the commitment for the oceans. And I guess compared to the list and then listen from what has been done in Busan last month regarding the our ocean conference, there are some commitment that is already increased in numbers and also in terms of the amounts of the money for the commitment of the oceans. So I think for Indonesia, the roles after the ocean conference, we consist and then we commit to many kind of like measure for marine resources and also ocean governance. So I can give some, for example, for the MPA, for example, we have already commit for 30% by 2045. It will be like 97.5 million hectares in 2045. And so far we have already achieved that like to 29.9 million hectares. So it is still big, big job. And then we all have already shifting our, the way we fisheries, our managing our fisheries from input control to the output control. So this is a kind like, our roles and after ocean conference. And then, and we also commit and to for the how mainstreaming the oceans into the climate change. Right? In fact, we are also part of the high ambition for the coalition, the high ambition coalition for ocean and climate dialogue. And we also active in kind of like, how to mainstream the roles of the ocean in the climate change. And so far we have already, our ocean in our national determined contribution. This is really a good document. I hope with the sum, for example, this is to show that our role after the ocean conference. Actually, is the timeline is not only 2009, but it was before that. We also conduct like in 2009 the Coral Reef Triangle Summit, and already produced what we call this Coral Triangle Initiative for Coral Reef Fisheries and Food Security, and we established the Secretariat in Manado, Indonesia. I hope this is kind of like example the way how our effort to contribute significantly to the regional and global process of sustainable oceans. Thank you.
Yeah, so actually long way before 2018, Indonesia has played its significant role. And when it comes to the 10th Our Ocean Conference in Busan, South Korea, that was just held, one of commitments conveyed in the conference is that concerning sustainable marine management through the Blue Economy Program and then marine spatial zoning regulation. Can you explain us how it going on?
Yeah, this is one of the commitment, one of six commitment that is already announced during the Our Ocean Conference. So this is our commitment how to make sure that all the activities in the oceans, in the coastal areas, this will be planned in ahead. So mean that should be hand in hand together, any kind of activities. So that's why this is important, the roles of marine spatial plannings. So we still have some tasks need to be done. That's why we announced our commitment to finalize that. And hopefully that it will be, all the Indonesian territory will be has a good mapping and also good planning in terms of doing that. So yeah, this is our commitment for make sure that we will manage our ocean and coastal in a sustainable way, and also in with a good planning.
Okay, from blue economy, we move to a blue carbon, specifically blue carbon network and database, where Indonesia has been initiating this effort, strengthening collaboration and cooperation in international forums. So how's the collaboration and cooperation that is meant here?
Can you elaborate more? What do you mean by database? Do you mean the database for secrets?
Yes, well, formulating a blue carbon management policies to guidelines for calculating its value.
Right. Let me see that first. I would like to explain about the blue carbon. Blue carbon is like, this is the terminology we use for the ecosystem that in coastal areas that contribute for, you know, to mitigate or mitigation action for the climate change, as well as for the adaptation. So the blue carbon ecosystem consists such as like mangrove, seagrass, meadow, tidal marsh, and some of that, you know, any kind like now is there is ongoing discussions about the seaweed, for example. But this is kind of like the ecosystem that Indonesia contribute for the mangrove, for example, like 70% of the globally. This mangrove seagrass meadow will be 11%. We in Indonesia, especially for the mangrove, I think more advanced compared to the seagrass. So in mangrove, we mangrove and seagrass, we follow the guideline from the IPCC guideline, which is they call the IPCC guideline supplement of IPCC guideline for mangrove and for coastal or wetland ecosystem. So again, in negotiation process or the terminology that we use in IPCC or the UNFCCC, the blue carbon. We use like coastal wetland ecosystem. So the ecosystem that have in wetland, so they can contribute, you know, to prevent the community from disasters and also contribute to reduce the gas emissions. But importantly, they are rich, they consist of the rich carbon, especially from the below ground or in the soil, like a mangrove or the seagrass, for example. So we have for the mangrove, we have like database. For the seagrass, we are developing right now. The mapping is also in the process. Hopefully, we'll be launching very soon. We, you know, we targeted, we can, you know, we have complete seagrass mapping in this year. Thank you.
Okay. And moving on to international efforts to ensure ocean health and wealth that were gaining momentum actually before COVID-19 hits. One of them is a Sustainable Development Goal or SDG 14 on life below water. But is it true there is setback to realize it? If it is, why and how's the solution?
I can say it's not setback, but there are we still have faced some challenges. There are some factors that contribute to the some challenges. For example, that we still have overfishing or overfishing. So if you follow the our ministry website or our ministry social media, so I guess every week we catch the illegal fishing from neighboring countries. So this is a challenge, I think, and we still have like a marine pollution, for example, and of course the habitat destructions. I cannot say this is not a setback, but the challenges we have to, you know, overcome, and then we need to how to make sure that there will be we can reduce these challenges. And of course, one of the big challenges, I guess, from for the SDG is about the financing. So funding is really important. So that's why if you compare that how the our capacity for financing and compared to the required budget for, like, for example, for like conserving or managing our resources, I think is we are far beyond that. So that's, we need enhance the capacity, and also we need to make it awareness to all the stakeholder how to address a kind of life. I think
well, listeners, seems like we are facing some technical problem here with today's VOI talk, but we keep trying to continue our VOI talk with today's guest, Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri, Expert Staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries. We're talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability. And while trying to reconnect with today's special guest on our VOI talk, what about enjoying a song? And then we'll be back shortly.
Samudra terbentang khatulistiwa, di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Thank you for still joining us on today's VOI talk, talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability with today's special guest, Expert Staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries, Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri. Bapak Hendra, thank you for joining us. So sorry for the technical inconvenience. So previously, we confirmed that the Sustainable Development Goal, or SDG 14 on life below water, doesn't really face a setback, but a challenge instead. Yeah. And you also mentioned before about illegal fishing. And based on data that we have here from Indonesia's National Commission on Stock Assessments in 2017, showing that nearly half of the nation's wild fish stocks were overfished partly due to illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing, leading to an estimated loss of $4 billion annually. So how's the progress of securing Indonesian Ocean to prevent illegal, unregulated, and unreported, or IUU, fishing nowadays?
I can respond this by having some examples. So that I would like starting that the ministry is really strongest commitment to reduce the IUU fishing, because this is one of that make our economies worse. And you see that we conduct not only from national, also regional and international wise. We in AU, we also report that, and then some country that catch in our water is already get the yellow card from the European Union. So I think we conduct surveillance, physical surveillance by our ships. So, KKP, our ministry has several, surveillance vessel. And we just, last week in Natuna, the North Natuna seas, we already catch some illegal fishing. And we have already prevent the loss of our economic point of view. I think it's more than a billion, so for example, right now. And we strengthen our monitoring control and surveillance, MCS Indonesia. And in our ministry, we have the common centers, so we can track the vessel that catch in our territory. So this is important. We apply the regulation. All the ship above the 30 gross tonnage should be equipped by the vessel monitoring system. This is how we monitor the ship. It's not only for the government, but for the owner, this is benefit, so they can track their vessel. So the VMS, we can track that. And if there is anomaly action, such as they switch off the VMS, we can track them, and we can by machine learning or by our analysis, we can predict whether this is can be transshipment or can be illegal fishing or enter in conservation areas. So we strengthen our monitoring system. And Indonesia, also in the ministry, we also host the secretariat, what we call this National Plan of Action Against IUU Fishing, Regional Plan of Action Promote Responsible Fishing Practice, including combating IUU fishing, RPOA IUU, the secretariat in our DG of surveillance. And we also working together with our neighboring countries through the mechanism what we call the CTICF, Quadrangle Initiative for Coral Reef Fisheries and Food Security. And we have also, of course, in regulatory, we have already, promote the what we call this fisheries-based quota management. This is like we try to balance, normally the area that, contain resources cannot get the economic benefit. That's why we force the system should be, they have to be landed in the area that have resources. So give economic, economic trickle down effect to the area. So this is very important. And we conduct the international cooperation for such as the countries. And then we have already apply what we call this port state measures. This is the FAO system. And we also promote the community involvement through POKWASMAS, Kelompok Pengawas Masyarakat. This is a community surveillance system. And of course, we try to, part of the against transnational criminal networks. And I guess IAU is already, labeling as a transnational crime. So that's why we committed to reduce that. So I think I would like to highlight this into this. We don't want to go to the controversial vessel fishing policies right now. So because we try to, if there are some illegal fishing, for example, so we try to maximize the vessel that we catch for education, for universities, for example, or for the communities that can be benefit more instead of to sinking and then will be, not really good for the environment as well. Yeah. Back to you.
Okay. And now, back in February 2024, we're talking about a project identification mission mark the commencement of Indonesia Coral Bond Initiative, which focuses on national and provincial marine protected areas in Raja Ampat and Alor and also Savu Sea. Is the project still going? And what have been achieved through this program, Pak Hendra?
Yes, in fact, we are not starting yet. We are in the process for negotiating with the World Bank. So this is the first. Let me, if you may allow that, let me share that my. You cannot see that my screen, right?
So, yeah. Yes, we can see it.
Yeah, this is the way we do it, because protecting coral reef in Indonesia is projected like 37 billion economic benefit by. This is a study from the UNEP. So that's why Indonesia is launching the Indonesia Coral Bonds. So this innovative financing, this is the non-loan or non-debt instruments. And this is a non-sovereign bond. Means that we don't have any obligation to return back how to attract the fund for this bond. That's why we collaborate with the World Bank, IUCN, BNP Paribas, the banking, and also GF. In Indonesia, we work together with Bappenas, closely together with Bappenas, and also Indonesia Environmental Health Fund. So Indonesia Coral Bond, actually, this is like 5 years, but it's a bit slightly, is still in the negotiation process. But again, they can be like outcome-based financing instrument that's linked with a specific target. And also will be issued by the World Bank, and the principle, because World Bank has the, in the term of the capital market, World Bank is a triple A balance sheet, means that very reputable institution to issue the bonds, and this will provide funding to the marine protected areas, and there will be funding provided by investor and account buyers, and we're using the MPA IUCN Green List as one of the our examples. So yeah, this is you mentioned about our target specific. There will be three MPA in Raja Ampat, because Raja Ampat consists of our national marine protected areas and also local protected area, and also I wanted to share, and then signing the agreement very soon. We are on the last stage of the finalization of our agreement with the World Bank. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the detailed elaboration. I wish I could dig deeper, but now we move to another important issue, which is marine plastic debris, in which the government of Indonesia has committed to reducing 70% of Indonesia's marine plastic debris by 2025 and to become a plastic solution free by 2040. So how is it going on the achievement so far, and who are involved in this effort?
I think previously we the ministry part of what we call this National Plan of Action for reducing marine pollution, marine plastic to the sea, and now with the new structures of the government, so that will be coordinated by coordinating Ministry of Food Affairs, and we have already discussions and also regulate regulating meeting, a regulation meeting, we coordinating meeting, for example, and we have target that. I think one of the big problem for the marine plastic or marine pollution is coming from the upstream. So we need to tackle the upstreams, you know, how we reduce and how we recycle, and then how can we reuse that. And then also the important things is like how to make sure that we separate. Separation is the key step, the key important step to reduce the and to minimize the garbage. So because you can find all the thing in the seas, so the sea is not a big garbage bin, but we need to reduce that by having good practice and then good behavior. So separate which one is will be like the organic waste and also inorganic waste, and can be or inorganic waste will be like can be recycled, can be reused and usable, and also can be we can promote it. And we also promote what we call this circular economy to do that. In Indonesia, or for example, ministry, we work together with the fishermen because one of our blue economy policy is how to minimize the plastic waste. So this is kind of like the activities that we go together with the fishermen, and we conduct what they call the seaman, love seaman, so Vulancinta Laut. So the idea is like we don't want to the numbers not increase, but we want to reduce that by having like since beginning. Now in our fishing port, we also apply each fishing vessel should be listed their plastic or content plastic material before fishing, and then have to report back to the fishing port after the fishing. So if they are plastic is not will be traced back to the sea, there will be some punishment later on to the fishing vessel. So yes, so this is kind of like how we our strategy to reduce plastic, or especially from the activities that related to the marine and fisheries. Thank you.
Okay, hope the strategies are running well so far and meet the target. Okay, Pak Hendra, final statement please that you would like to convey to our listeners, our Indonesian and international listeners, about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability, and how can people contribute to preserve global ocean sustainability?
Right. First, I would like to mention here, Indonesia is a big countries. We 1,504 islands, and we are the second largest, second longest, coastline in the world. And our marine resources contribute to regulated, the world climates. So this is how the importance of Indonesian marine and coastal. That's why Indonesia is like for mangrove, for example, we contribute almost 1/5 of our mangrove, and also seagrass, like 1/10 of our the contribution of to the, our seagrass. So this is to show that the importance of Indonesia coastal areas, especially and the for the future of the ocean. So if we don't guard the oceans, the ocean will be sacrificed, will be degraded, and if the ocean degraded, that means that the world will be degraded as well. So let's work together for guarding the oceans, because the ocean is like the all the resources coming from the oceans. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pak Hendra Yusron Siri, Expert Staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries. Let's keep going hand in hand to preserve global ocean sustainability. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI talk on Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean and sustainability. Hope it gives you more insights and information about Indonesia's role and about global ocean sustainability itself. Joining us in another interesting and insightful talks on VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
pesanan khas dari Andrew. Ya, terbuat dari
Majekotu is a typical snack of Andrekang, made from sticky rice, grated coconut, and brown sugar. The white sticky rice is steamed until it's cooked, then placed into a container and mixed with some brown sugar.
Terbenam di ufuk barat, di saat itulah dingin rindu selimuti keindahan senyuman dari lesung pipi itu. Menikmati imaji bersamamu, maka terimalah diriku. Kita akan bahagia selamanya. Ku berjanji jadi suamimu, dan ku akan memberikan yang terbaik untukmu. Sadar diriku tak seindah lagu indie yang selalu kau dengar meracuni telingamu. Ku pastikan ini bukan tentang sajadah lara, sahaja mewarnai duniaku. Maka
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from West Java entitled Nenggelis. The song Nenggelis was popularized by Alfian. The word Nenggelis literally means beautiful girl. The Sundanese song tells of a man who is falling in love with a beautiful girl. The girl comes from Bandung, West Java, and she has a yellow cheek and pointed nose. The man hopes he can introduce her and even engages with the girl next month. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from West Java entitled Nenggelis by Alfian. Enjoy!
kang hoyong tepat. Upamita ayah pamengang langkung sae kurang kenalan. Neng gelis puja alengkang, neng gelis sengkang hoyong tepang. Upamita ayah pamengang sasi payun kurang tunangan. Itu saha anu wajuk bodan, itu saha anu wajuk kaya. Pipi konek dirun mancung panon hidup putri Bandung. Neng gelis puja anengkang, neng gelis engkang hoyong tepang. Ayah pamengang nasi payun kurang tunangan. Hoyong tepang upami te ayah pamengang langkung sae kurang kenalan. Neng gelis puja anengkang, neng gelis engkang hoyong tepang upami te ayah payun kurang tunangan. Itu saha anu acuk bodas, itu saha anu acuk kaya. Pipi konek dirun mancung panon hidup putri Bandung. Oh! Neng gelis puja anengkang, neng gelis upami te ayah pamengang sasi payun kurang tunangan, sasi payun kurang tunangan.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts,